If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome back to the Are You Friends podcast. This is Allison.
And this is Kara.
I am going to run through my catch-up as quickly as possible because this episode is fully dedicated to Kara and Connor's honeymoon, and we are all so excited to hear about it. I know we've been waiting on the edge of our seats because you guys did the honeymoon right. Like the photos, the destinations, the hotels, it just looked absolutely magical. How are you feeling post-honeymoon?
Oh my gosh, thank you. I'm so happy with how it went. Seriously, my planning paid off. All the work and the stress that was before totally paid off. I mean, it was such a great trip. I'm so excited to get into it and just share all the funny stories, all the details, how someone else could plan it if they want to plan something similar, because kind of how we did it, a lot of people do the all-inclusive route or go to one hotel. We just wanted to maximize being gone for almost 2 weeks because Connor has a sales job, so he doesn't really get PTO. It's not like he takes 2 weeks every year. It's like, no, when he takes off, it's very, you know, it's not in his best interest to take off. So we have to make it as maximized as possible and go to as many places as we can. And so going to Mallorca and Switzerland and Paris was so fun, so worth it. And which was different than going to a beach or like going to a Jamaica and sitting there for a week, but it was so, so worth it doing something different. And yeah, like I said, I'm excited to get into that in a little bit.
I also love that, I mean, you're such a travel girl and you've been to so many places, but I like that you had some new experiences with this so you guys could share that together.
Yes, that was definitely top priority for me was going, and I think Connor too, he wanted to go somewhere that I had not been as well. And I had not been to any of the places except for Paris. I did go to Paris like 12 years ago though, which is crazy. That was like one of my first international trips was England and France like 12 years ago, and which it's so different going as a 16-year-old to Paris than as a 28-year-old. 28. Like, how old am I?
But everyone deserves one Paris trip per decade. New perspective.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And spoiler alert, it was amazing. I loved Paris. Connor loved Paris, but I agree. I feel like that's a destination that you could go time and time again, and you're not going to get sick of it. But first, before I get into that, like I said, with Connor, he's going to join us. Let's catch up, run us up to speed. You have been 8 different locations, I swear, all across the world within a span of a couple weeks. Tell us, maybe not 8.
Yeah, let's see. Okay. I was in Tulum for the last 7 or 8 weeks, I think, basically all of August and then the majority of September. And I was starting to seek a change because I'm going to be going back there for like all of November and December once winter really sets in the Midwest. And I love fall. So I was like, okay, you know what? Maybe before winter strikes, I should go to some destinations that have fall weather right now. So then I was thinking, okay, well, if I fly out of Cancun, might as well go up to Playa del Carmen. And then that's how the skydiving thing started. And so we did go. I totally forgot to tell you guys that last week because 3 weeks ago, whenever we pre-recorded before Kara's honeymoon, I was like, okay, I'm going to go skydiving this weekend. And I did it. And I listened back to what I said, how I was feeling before I went. And it was really spot on. Like I loved it. It really wasn't that scary. I don't know. I was just like smiling the whole time. I didn't even really have an adrenaline rush, like, which is maybe a little psychotic. Like, I was trying to think of something the other day that I was telling someone, oh, getting a tattoo is actually scaring me 10 times more than skydiving because of the permanence of it. I'm just like, I still am going back and forth. Technically, I have a tattoo appointment this coming Wednesday, and I kind of want to back out because I kind of like being naked because so many people have tattoos, which I love them. I love them on other people. That's why I want them. But I kind of feel like it's almost more rebellious at this point to not get one. And this customer came into 1404 yesterday. Now I'm home and she had so many amazing tattoos on her arms. And I was like, okay, do you have any like tattoo wisdom to share on me? Because I'm getting some this week. And she goes, honestly, if I had none, I wouldn't even get one now. Like, I think it's so cool to be a blank slate. And I'm like, don't tell me that. That's like exactly what my fear was. And she's like, and then I wanted one on my hand. And she's like, no, don't do the hands. They come off. Like, if you really want one on your hand, you need to go to like a biker tattoo guy and he's going to have to drill them in. I'm like, okay, well, I don't think that's what I'm going for. So now I'm like second guessing all of this. And it's Monday right now. And my appointment's supposed to be Wednesday. And that was part of why I came back to Omaha, was because of this tattoo appointment. So then I built my Omaha trip around this. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to work at the shop all weekend, host this open buying thing, process a bunch of inventory, see the customers, clean, and then get this tattoo and then head out. Well, I'm kind of like enjoying being here in Omaha. So I think I'm going to actually stay like another week or two, because I don't even feel like I've been here for 6 days. Like, I literally worked at the shop open to close. And one night I had a sibling night with my sister and my two stepbrothers. One night me and my mom went out and got pizza. What did I do last night? Oh, I came over to my friend Mick and Curtis's house. And today we're going to Valis Pumpkin Patch. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I have so many things on my Omaha fall bucket list. I need more time. So I think I'm going to be here for a second, because I know Tulum is going to be there for me all winter. Like, I don't need to rush back there. I can just enjoy where I'm at. But yeah, that's now I'm here. I'm at my friend Mick's house right now. They're waiting. And then we're going to go to Valis. And I want to go to the Arbor Day Farm, right? Is that what it's called?
I think so,
Arbor Farm. It's very cute. There's like an apple orchard and it's outside of town. It's just very, very beautiful. You like walk through the farm. And then what else? Junk Stock will be this coming weekend. So I could go to that. But also I have friends going to New York this weekend. So I could go to that. I'm like, I don't know. I need to figure my life out today. It's a Monday and I'm like, am I getting tattoos? I need to do my normal Monday payroll. I got to send my emails. I'm so behind on my Lemonade posts, but life is lifing and just trying to weave it all in. So I appreciate that you and Connor are going to dive into the honeymoon conversation and I'll be off on
She'll
the side.
Jump right out. Yeah. It's about here. No, Mondays are hard. Well, this is fascinating about the tattoo. I think I could see you going either way. So I'm very excited to see what you decide. And maybe if they do come off on the hand, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that kind of gives you the best of both worlds. I don't know.
That's true. Yeah, I could dip my toes in knowing it's going to come off. But I think
that's
just
not the point.
I think it just kind of crushed my soul a little bit, because I was so excited to do one on the inside of my right ring finger. And the person I'm going to doesn't do them there. And it was just like, I was so excited to get it. And that was like the number one I wanted. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do one on my left inner bicep. I'm going to do one on my right rib, on the front of my right ankle. And then when they couldn't do it, it just like the momentum and the excitement, it just kind of like halted it. And I'm like, is this a sign that I'm just like not supposed to do this? Or am I supposed to get the other one? So I need to meditate on it, because I partially feel like I'm getting them to get one, I think.
No, that's tough. Well, you'll definitely have to keep us updated with that.
I will.
Do you want to share anything about Nova Scotia? Because I did tell you, I'm like, you are the first person I know that went to Nova Scotia. How did you find this location? When people think of a fall trip, I feel like they think of Vermont, Maine. Can you just give us a quick rundown of that? Because that's fascinating to me. That one, that you thought of that, but also, how is that not a more popular destination? Like, how do I not know a single soul that's been there?
No, it's so underrated. I will be going like annually.
Wow.
So how it started is, of course, we all think of the United States Northeast for fall time. And I knew how hot it had been in Nebraska right now. So I was kind of feeling like, I think there's still a heat wave in the Northeast part. And like, I want fall weather. So I was like, okay, I think I have to go more north. So I was like looking on the map and then looked up like weather in Nova Scotia. And it was a little bit cooler. And I'm like, okay, I think I'm far enough north, because I'm not trying to go to like Alaska right now necessarily. I mean, that could have been a backup option, but I was really wanting like that Northeast, close to the ocean, but the leaves are changing atmosphere. And there was a flight from Cancun to Halifax that I could get. And I knew that Peaches could go into Canada, because a few years ago, I took her up to Vancouver, Canada, and Whistler. So I knew it would be no problem getting her into Canada. So I was like, okay, that tracks. And then I'll just fly from Canada to Omaha when I need to go to the shop next weekend. And the more I started looking at it, I was like, this is really beautiful. Like, why is this not discussed more? And I like flying into a smaller airport. Like, I feel like it's so welcoming. You know, like flying into Burbank versus LAX, you're just like, ooh, it feels so good. And so I felt like the welcome of landing in Halifax, like it was such a small airport. It's really low key, so easy to get a rental car and then just like go out into the countryside. And there's lots of tiny houses, lots of cabins. And I didn't have my flight from Halifax to Omaha set at all. I didn't know if I would stay 2 days, a week. I was just going to play it by ear. And the peninsula, I guess that's what you would call it, because it's not an island. It's like connected to mainland Canada, but it definitely like sticks out. It's kind of different as you go around. Like there are some areas that are more piney and there's some areas that are more like coastal feeling. So I kind of did both sides of the peninsula, and then I went into Halifax, which was like the city area. And one thing that I will say that I wish the Midwest could adopt from Nova Scotia, well, two things, the cleanliness, but their roadside farm stands. It's just so cool. Like, you know how there's that one in Omaha, Perennial Homestead? It's just like on the outside of her house, you go up, it's by Honor, you just Venmo or PayPal her, and you take your goods. I swear she had to have gotten that idea from Nova Scotia, because that is like so common there. Like tons of people have it. You just buy eggs from this person, firewood from this person. And it made the drive so beautiful. You're like, okay, I'm going to get some fresh flowers, eggs over here, some sourdough here. But like you get like endless farmers markets around the whole peninsula. It was really, really unique to see that. So highly recommend. And even if you can go this fall, everyone was telling me like, stay two more weeks. Like I already thought it looked so beautiful there. And they were like, it's only going to get better. And apparently there's this like ski chair lift thing. They take you up and it's, you can see all of the colors above.
Oh my gosh.
That's definitely on my bucket list now. If I don't go this year, I would love to go next year. And yeah, just rent a car and drive around. I don't even feel like you needed to plan things. Like the driving and being in nature and just seeing the beauty of that landscape was the activities. And so I did go up to Cape Barron. There's this thing called the Cabot Trail. The whole loop is like 6 to 8 hours, I think. So I just like did part of it and kind of like came back down. But yeah, I loved how fresh the food was. I loved the culture of like farm to table. It seemed so safe, so community oriented. Like so many of those little roadside farm stands, like there was just a cash box, not even like the Venmo or PayPal, like literally just leave your money and you'd like open the container and there's just like money in there.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, felt very safe.
Well, everything you shared looks so beautiful. So thanks for giving that background. Cause I'm like, how did you stumble upon this? And did they get a lot of tourism? Where are people visiting from?
A lot of Canadian tourism. Like everyone I would meet, they would be like, yeah, we're from Montreal. We're from Toronto. We're from Alberta.
And were they surprised when you would say where you were from?
Yeah. They were like, interesting. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm like living in Mexico right now. And they were like, okay. And you have your dog? I'm like, I know. Yeah.
They're like, she's not real. What's going on?
But I also really liked the fashion in Halifax. Like it was very hipstery. I feel like a 1404 in Halifax would be $1 million business, because those people, being a little bit cooler climate, like the vintage sweaters, the vintage denim, the boots. Mm-hmm. I'm like, there's a gap in the market here. Not that I'm planning on actually doing that, but I couldn't help but notice.
So cool. Anything else you want to share from your last couple of weeks? I guess, yeah, 3 weeks, like you said, it's been a minute.
With the skydiving, my favorite part was that we landed on the beach. For some reason in my head, I didn't really think about where we were going to be landing. I kind of either thought like in an open field or maybe in the airport area, because apparently a lot of times like you just land in the airport, like on the tarmac.
So funny. Wow.
And so as it was finishing and we were like close to the beach, I was like, wait, are we landing on the beach? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, cool. Like it made me so excited, because there was all these people just like laying out. Like we literally landed in between like two families, just like on their beach towel, like 5 feet away. It was so soft, just like dropping a little cotton ball into a pillow. I thought the landing was going to be really intense, kind of. And some girl had DM'd me saying like, oh my gosh, make sure to wear long layers. Like I just had a friend go and they had a really rough landing and like cut up their body. So in my head, I was thinking the landing was going to be like brutal, kind of.
Yeah. And I've heard also, that it can be. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you're falling out of a plane. So you would think that you'd have a good amount of speed going into the land. But I don't know. Maybe it was different there or whatever. But it was such a soft landing. Like I just landed on my feet and like stood right up and walked into the ocean. It was such a high. I guess, yeah, you had an adrenaline rush, but overall, I just felt very free. And it really reminded me like the world is so small. And I feel like I'm never going to have flight anxiety again, because when I was sitting in the airplane, I was just like, I mean, I was in a much smaller plane and then jumped out of one of these. So I have no concern over sitting on an airplane now. Kind of in the way like, okay, when I used to run quite a few half marathons, then if I would go run something for like 3 or 4 miles, I'm like, bitch, you got it. We ran three times this distance. And I think that's why it's really good to do scary things or like push yourself sometimes. Or like when I did 75 hard, sometimes if I don't want to work out, I'm like, girl, remember when we did this 75 days in a row, twice a day? Go to the gym. Like, yeah, you can do it. We've done this before. Or, you know, when you're just like feeling that resistance and trying to self-sabotage, you can use yourself as inspiration, which sometimes I think is more powerful, because if someone else does something, you can say like, well, they're just more motivated, they're more disciplined, or they don't have to do this other stuff, or they have all these things that make it easier. But if you can do it yourself and then lean back on your past experiences to be like, we've done harder, we've done more, we can do this little thing today.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that. I think that's so true. And you're so right. Now you have that incredibly brave experience that you can draw from. So if there's something else that's intimidating you, it's like, and now I jumped out of a freaking plane last week, I can handle this small task.
Yeah, literally.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, okay.
Quick updates, I guess, on my end. Going tomorrow to LA, heading out for a work trip. I'm going to Santa Barbara for a hotel shoot, and then we'll be in LA for the weekend, and then going to Big Sur next week for a hotel as well. So we're doing two hotel shoots. So excited. I wish I could post about these ones. They don't let us post about this client, sadly. So I'll post like some sneaky photos. And if you know these hotels, maybe you can identify them. I'm not allowed to tag them or anything, but it's going to be so gorgeous. I'm so excited. And so we have like the weekend off. The other two people I'm working with live in LA, but I'm not local, obviously. So I get to just like run around and explore with my friend Hannah, who lives there. I'm staying with her. And she works at the Jennifer Hudson show. So she was like, wait, do you want to come to our showing on Friday? I can get you a ticket to the live studio audience. And I was like, wait, yes, that sounds so fun. So I'm going to go see the Jennifer Hudson show on Friday, which will be so cool.
Oh my God, that's a bucket list thing too. That's so fun.
I know. Why has being in a studio audience been something on my bucket list? I think I was telling you, I'm like, I feel like growing up, we watched Ellen every single day when I got home from school. Like it was always on the TV, even in college, coming home to the sorority house, the house mom had the Ellen show on. I don't know why. So at the back of my head, I'm like, I've always wanted to go and experience something like that, being in a talk show or like a game show live audience or something like The Price is Right. So this is definitely checking that off my list. Very excited to go and see who the guest is. Don't know who the guest is yet. Fingers crossed, it's someone cool. But I'm very excited to see my friend Hannah at work as well. Hopefully she can take me back behind the stage or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll see. I have no expectations, but it'll be very, very cool. I feel like that's a very LA thing to go do.
I also love that you went on this honeymoon, got to stay in these 5-star hotels, get back to St. Louis, and now you're just going to more 5-star hotels now on the coast. Like one continent to another. What a month.
I know. It is crazy. Like seriously, what a month. I mean, I've had the same thought. I'm trying to think of if this is a good thing or a bad thing that I'm just getting exposed. I will say, maybe I'll say this in the honeymoon segment that me and Connor are going to record, but like with how bad we don't need to go into this rant, but just a quick statement with how bad customer service is at some places that you pay like $400 or $500 for. It's almost like, okay, I will pay $800 for a 5-star hotel to actually get treated with such great service. And not every hotel is like that. Like we stayed at a 4-star hotel in Mallorca, and it was, I think it ranges from like $300 to $500 a night. And that was amazing service. It was only a 9-room hotel, amazing customer service, incredible. But like some of the other ones we paid in Switzerland, it's so expensive. I think we paid $600 a night for a hotel, and the service was so bad. And like for $800 a night, this is all crazy. These are crazy numbers, I know, but like, this was like the one thing we splurged on. I used points, and I don't think we ever paid like the full price for any of our hotels for the nicer ones. But I'm just like, maybe that is worth it, because for a $200 difference, the difference in customer service was crazy, I will say.
Actually, me and my Tulum friend were talking about this too, because there's so many resorts in Tulum that are like $300 to $500 a night, and it's like a very average experience. But if you're just willing to spend $1,000, they're like giving you a massage on the ocean. It's like breakfast in bed, and you're really getting what you actually wanted instead of feeling like, okay, well, I already spent a lot and I'm disappointed.
Yes, like I'm almost thinking I would rather spend $5,000 on a trip and like take less trips to get mm-hmm. better customer service and like have a better experience than do like three trips. I don't know. Again, I'm also getting older and there's different things. I don't want to sound so out of touch because this is like such a crazy conversation, but I will say again, like the 1 5-star hotel we stayed at, I used my Hilton points to book and it's usually $1,000 a night, but I'm like, this was well worth $1,000 a night. Like the way that when you walked in, everyone was asking if you need help with anything, like helping you with your bags, giving you recommendations. The breakfast was completely free. The most insane breakfast buffet dishes I've ever had in my life. There's just so many things where I'm like, okay, I'm getting that full value. Whereas like one of the hotels again that we stayed in Switzerland was $600 and it was 4 stars, which is still really nice. But like we walked in with our bags and 2 different people passed us and did not say a word, did not help us with anything. I'm just like, this is crazy. Like for a couple I don't know. Again, this is like so out there to say. No. Apologize.
First of all, you deserve it because you have been producing trips for other people, giving travel tips, working at beautiful destinations, doing all of this stuff to make other people have memorable travel experiences. You deserve to go to a 5-star hotel and get all of these things. It's not like you're doing it every day. Like deserve it. This is your honeymoon. No one is judging. And if they're judging, they're jealous.
I think if you can ever save up some points, I mean, get a Chase credit card. Like with the Chase credit cards, you can literally stay at 5-star hotels for the smallest amount of points as compared to any other. Like you can stay at a 5-star hotel for 15,000 points a night, 20,000 points a night. Actually, one of the hotels I'm shooting next week is a popular like Chase credit card redemption hotel in Big Sur. You guys can kind of look that up. You'll see what I'm talking about. It's stunning. But it's like not that many points to stay at one of these really nice hotels. But if you get the chance to ever do this, you'll see what I'm talking about. Like, I'm just saying now I'm more willing to allot my travel savings to a nice hotel just because of these experiences that I've had in the last year. And I used to shit on people who would like spend so much money staying in 5-star hotels. I thought they were so ridiculous. But if you're willing to move things around or like pay for your flight with points or not do as many excursions, you can find a way to make those things work. I don't know. Just some food for
Absolutely.
Thought.
And I do think the older we get, we start to value quality over quantity more because in your youth, also at that point in time, think of we had been on a lot fewer trips. So we're like, I just want to go and see all the places. Like I'll stay at the $15 a night hostel because I just want to go. And then you get older and you're like, okay, it had its time and place. I loved it. Still down to do that occasionally, but I work hard and I want someone to take care of me on this trip. And that's totally okay.
Yes, exactly. There's room for both. Like literally in Croatia, me, Hania, and McKenna, we joked that our Airbnb was a dollhouse. You literally walked in, the bathroom was right there. Straight when you walk in was a spiral staircase that led up and it was like the 2 rooms and it was legitimately a dollhouse. And that was the cheapest Airbnb in Navarre. And that worked for us at that trip. So you're right. It's all about balance. It's about doing both. But shout out to the people working in the hospitality jobs. I appreciate your hard work. And yeah, Absolutely. We'll get more into the travel stuff, but very excited to go to LA, see the Jennifer Hudson show. And I was telling Allison too, I'm like, I'm leaving right away. I just got back 2 or 3 days ago. We're leaving again. But when it's cool shoots like this, I'm like, get me on the plane, get me there. I'm so excited. I can't wait to see it. So it'll be very, very fun.
Well, and also you went on this amazing trip. Like I'm sure you feel rejuvenated. It wasn't one of those trips where you're like, oh my God, I'm so exhausted. That was, you know.
Yeah. And we'll definitely talk about this too, hopefully. But like when we didn't want to do something, we're like, we're on our honeymoon. We're not traveling. We're like, we can sleep in and like not go out to dinner. If we want to just order room service, we can do that. Of course, we are traveling and experiencing places, but we're also on our honeymoon. So if we just don't want to do anything, that's fine.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah. Yes, it's about your time together.
It was very rejuvenating. Yeah. It was great. Okay. Peaks of the week.
Peaks of the week. I'll say my peak was just the general hug that I feel like I collectively receive coming back to Omaha from friends, family, customers, podcast listeners. Omaha will just always be home in that way because of the people here. Like it was so sweet. We had a really, really good sales weekend. And I said in our Slack channel, okay, I think we had a great sales weekend because I did the open buying event and it brought in more people. And I posted quite a bit on socials. And one of the vendors was like, Allison, it's because people want to see you. Like they just Aww. Like you. And I was like, wait, that's so nice. Like, thanks. And I mean, I guess, it, you know, it's my store. So it did, like, it makes sense. Like, it's cool to go to a restaurant or a coffee shop or something when the owner's present because you're like, oh, of course, they care about it. And I think for the most part, the owner's always going to put a little bit more of a magical touch on things than employees who are just there. You know, they're along on their journey. They're not there forever. So yeah, that just felt really warm and welcoming to be received in such a sweet way by a lot of people.
Aw, I love that. That's amazing.
Thank you.
I will say my peak of the week is similar to yours, people. Before I left for my honeymoon, we flew out of Atlanta because we had to drop off Margot at my parents' house in Birmingham. So I have my good friend Jane, who used to live in St. Louis. She now lives in Atlanta. She was in town. And my other friend, Lindsay, who lives in New York, but she was back for her high school reunion. They were both in town. So I texted them. I'm like, hey, do you guys want to go to lunch before we fly out for our honeymoon? So we had like a little mini send off of my two friends and Connor. We all hung out and got lunch before our flight. So that was nice. And then being in Birmingham, going to Atlanta, and then we came back, we flew back into Atlanta, went back to Birmingham and saw my brother, my parents. So it was good family time. I loved seeing them and hanging out. And then also Julian was back at my parents' house in Birmingham. So being able to play games, hang out, make dinner together, it was just like a lot of good, like you said, people time, quality family time. So I feel like my peak was the ends of the honeymoon. We're surrounded by great people and good memories.
Oh, I love that. That's so sweet.
Okay, should I read your guys' peaks?
Well, this one is very seasonally appropriate. Katie said, hosted a fall dinner party, and now we're going to have a party to welcome each season. That is such a good idea. I love that. And I hope some other listeners can take inspiration from that.
Wow, I love that. I've been wanting to do something similar for so long. So maybe that's going to be the push I need. Danielle said, buy my wedding dress. Oh my gosh, congratulations. You're going to be such a stunning bride.
This one, they said anonymous, but I found out yesterday I'm pregnant. Hee hee. Oh my gosh, congratulations.
That's amazing. Congratulations. Ah. And Maggie said, going on a boat ride with a couple of my friends for girls' night. Oh, look at all these people doing fun, unique activities. Love, love, love. Hope you have the best time. As always, send in your peaks of the week on our Instagram page, Arty Friends Podcast.
Okay, the holidays are sneaking up fast, and it is not too early to get started on your holiday shopping and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods is making holiday shopping way less stressful this year with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts that you cannot find anywhere else. Uncommon Goods is the best place to discover extraordinary designs from small businesses and independent makers since 1999. It's truly the perfect name for this website because there are so many unique and interesting gifts for anybody in your life, and there's so many different niches. The mixologists, the gardeners, the diehard football fans, the history buffs, the book lovers, whatever your person that you're shopping for is interested in, you're gonna find something special and unique on Uncommon Goods. One scroll through their site, you'll know what I'm talking about. There's just so many unique niche gifts, and they're all from independent artists, small businesses, so you feel good supporting them. A lot of these gifts are made in small batches, so when you're shopping for the holidays, shop now because they will sell out, which is a great thing because we love a small batch unique gift. Also, every purchase at Uncommon Goods, they give back a dollar to a nonprofit partner of your choice, and they've donated more than $3 million to date. So get started early on the holiday shopping this season at Uncommon Goods. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/alreadyfriends. That's uncommongoods.com/alreadyfriends for 15% off. Do not miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, we're here with Connor. Hello, Connor. Welcome back to the pod.
Long-time listener, second-time guest.
Yeah, I guess you only happen on once. That's crazy. Okay, well, we're going to talk about everything related to the honeymoon. Go all in. And I feel like we can also talk a little bit about planning a honeymoon, because I'm sure some people that might be listening are interested for their own research for their own honeymoons.
Yeah, because personally, it was very challenging to coordinate the travel and the hotels.
Was it?
Yeah, to do all of that work. And then just to see it happening is really rewarding.
Yeah. If you're not catching on, Connor literally did zero. I mean,
Connor didn't know where we were going until we were there.
Connor is that husband that's like, what time is the wedding on the wedding day? No, you're really not. But to be fair, Connor has a job that requires him to be at the office 9 to 5. So honestly, I don't blame you for not having helped plan. But that's okay, because we didn't need two cooks in the kitchen, you know?
It's true.
Okay, so running it back from the top, first day, we flew out of Atlanta. take us from there. I guess we can both.
Why you never sleep on a plane? No, I learned a lesson. It's the only time I've ever slept on a plane, and I woke up to a catastrophe.
I know. I'm like, this is the first story that I did write down for this outline was Poopgate. We're going to call it Poopgate. So we booked direct flights, Atlanta to Barcelona. We were going to Mallorca. So I guess whole overview of this itinerary. 4 days in Mallorca, 5 days in Switzerland, 3 days in Paris. And then we flew back to the States after that. It was amazing. So fun. But yeah, I guess, wait, should we say anything?
Had a shitty start.
Had a shitty start. Literally. So I'm a queen at sleeping on flights. I have my trusty neck pillow, which, oh my gosh, come to find out later in this episode, we'll learn that I lost it in the airport, but it's okay. I've already ordered a new one. We love Cabot, best neck pillows. But if I have a good neck pillow, eye mask, I'm out. So I'm asleep on this flight, dead asleep in the middle seat. Connor, you also passed out, you said?
So let me take you through this. Plane's dark. We're 6 hours in for a 9 hour flight. I start to doze off. And I like thought to myself, like, this is happening because it never happens. It's like, I'm going to fall asleep here. So I fall asleep. I wake up. Don't know why. Lights are on. There's a flight attendant.
Lights are on during the clearly sleeping part of this flight.
Flight attendant double Lysoling down the aisle. Bag on the ground. Woman like this. She knew it was her honeymoon. She was a queen, if I can say that. Maybe you should say that. And there's a bag on the ground. I go, oh no, did someone puke? And she leans in close and she goes, Connor, that's not puke. I go, that's poop. Did this. Someone pooped on the plane.
There was no
animal on the plane. Just to get that out the way. There was no animal on our flight. So then I, like Detective LeBlanc from Knives Out, for the rest of the flight, I was trying to get to the bottom of this poop incident. And I was pretty sleep deprived and may have blamed an older woman that just happened to be by the incident. And then I felt really guilty about it about a week
later. No, you did not blame anyone. We did not out anybody, but I wake up and there's like three flight attendants in our aisle going up and down, figuring out this incident. That Connor is piecing together. I'm like, what is going on? He goes, someone literally pooped in the aisle. And so that was Poopgate.
It's romantic.
Yeah, what a great romantic start.
The best part was landing and the flight attendant saying, like, you guys should walk around it.
She's like, honey,
how bad is it? And she goes, I've never in my career had this happen before. But I never got to the bottom who did it. I was looking for kids.
I wish it was a pet. I wish it was an animal that did that.
No, that would be too
perfect.
I know it was somebody, and that person has to live with the fact that they pooped down the aisle for the rest of their life. And we didn't get breakfast because of that.
So the honeymoon was off to a start. Landed Barcelona. We took a regional flight to Mallorca. Get to Mallorca. Is there anything else you want to say with that? I don't know.
Other than the savagery of someone pooping on a airplane.
So the trip was off to a start. That's one way you could put it. Also, like Connor mentioned, we had an amazing flight attendant, and shout out to Laura on Delta. I immediately after getting off the flight wrote in a review to Delta that she was the most amazing flight attendant I've ever had. And if they ever make another commercial, that they need to put Laura in the video because she is the epitome of what a Delta flight attendant should be. But also the flight attendants were nice to us because we did bring gifts. So pro tip, start off your honeymoon on a good vibe, good energy, and bring $5 Starbucks gift cards for all the flight attendants because they will treat you like royalty. They're very nice to us. They liked us because they have to deal with stuff like that. That's literally why I think we were meant to bring them Starbucks gift cards, because they literally had to pick up poop. Anyways, so what else happened? I guess right when we got to Barcelona, we switched airlines, which I don't always recommend because you never know. These were not two flights on the same ticket. It's a little risky, but we did it. It was fine. When we were checking into our second flight, I accidentally left my neck pillow. I like for some reason put it on my checked bag while we were walking through the airport. Come to find out, I left it on the checked bag. I'm like, okay, well, maybe the neck pillow will be there when we get to Mallorca. And then the bag came and it was not on there. So that was sad, but that was okay. I'm like, whatever. It was old. Replace it. We ended up doing a rental car, got a rental car and headed off to our first hotel. And that was amazing. We stayed at the Zoetree Mallorca. Beautiful hotel. It's off in the countryside. Anything from that stay that was memorable that we want to talk about?
It was good.
What were your thoughts on that hotel? I thought it was stunning. So it was like a 14th century farm, finca turned hotel. So stunning. It's very wellness vibe. So if you're trying to go, it's a good place if you want to sit.
Good start.
It was a great starting
because
point.
It was one of those hotels I felt like you weren't supposed to leave the hotel.
Yes.
So I didn't want to do that. And you didn't really want to do that. And we were jet lagged. So that was, in that aspect, it was nice. And like the resort sauna was full access. Mm-hmm. So it was a good recovery from jet lag hotel.
Yeah, they had a nice spa. You could hot tub, sauna, steam room. Oh my God, they had like the rain room, like the thunderstorm room, which was very interesting. That's not something that we're used to. So the steam room had people in it and the sauna had people in it. And like no one was ever really in the spa. So it was just kind of rare that like all six of us decided to go at the same time. So we're like, oh, what's this third room? We'll try out this room.
There's a button, we'll push it.
Yeah, at the front it said like rainstorm room. And we're like, we'll let the other people sauna and then we'll just go do this rainstorm room and then go sauna when they're done. This room was so freaking loud. We pressed the button and all of a sudden we're in the Rainforest Cafe. There's like boom, boom, thunder and lightning crackling and like it's making a thunder sound, thunderstorm noise. It was so embarrassing. We immediately got out and everyone from the steam room and sauna like came out too and they're like, what was that? So it was kind of funny.
But no, then we started a trend because then they all tried it.
Yeah, then everyone like, wanted to go into the thunderstorm room. And it was, really
was not awesome. It was a gimmick.
It was, yeah, it was interesting. It was a thing. No, I really liked that hotel. I met really nice people. It was a great, like you said, great place to recover from that jet lag. We slept that side of the island. That was like the southeast side of Mallorca, which the thing for Mallorca is that you need a rental car because you have to drive pretty much everywhere. So we had a rental car and we went and explored some of the big popular beaches. I guess that's one of the big things. That was our first full day of the trip. And we're like, let's go to the beach. Let's explore. These beaches are absolutely stunning. I will say that water is some of the bluest, most turquoise water I've ever seen in my life. But to caveat, they are so crowded. These beaches, I don't know if it was, and we were kind of at a peak time visiting Mallorca. It was mid-September, but that still should kind of be way less busy. And we were body to body on the beach with people. And people next to us were like chain smoking cigarettes, people being loud and crazy. So we loved how pretty the beach was. But we did not stay very long.
Yeah.
So anything you want to say with that?
I'm not a big stranger in my space kind of person. So not my ideal time.
With that experience, we didn't make a note. We're like, okay, honestly, U.S. beaches, they're onto something.
It's just more coastline, less rocky.
Yeah, there's more room.
There's more room. I wouldn't have mind the chain smoking. You know, do yeah. You. I don't want you stepping on me.
The chain smoking 2 feet away. No, it was still so stunning. But that is just like a Instagram versus reality moment. Was that behind my picture?
And the little pedal boats with the slide on them that are bright pink.
Yeah, when a spot gets a little too touristy, you get some of the tourists.
But you parked the shit out of that beach. She circled around. She was like, we're going to find a spot. Kara's the best at manifesting, finding parking. And I'm kind of like impatient. Just drive. Just park. We'll walk. And she's like, no, we're going to find a spot. And she found one right up front.
Thank you. That's so true. I was like, I'm going to get a spot. I'm getting a spot in this parking lot. And the whole time we were driving down there, there's people walking from a mile away, walking down to the beach, but I pulled right up and got a spot. So thank you. Yeah, that's so true. Okay, so that was our first hotel. Did 2 nights there. Favorite parts. After that beach, we went and explored Santani. That was really pretty. Super cute little downtown. Walked around, saw some art, shopping. It was very quiet. So that was very interesting because the beaches were packed. But that town was dead quiet. Like everything was closed for the most part. So that was interesting. And then after that side of the island, we moved to the west side, which was definitely our favorite, right?
Yeah, it was the best.
Stayed at Mirabo de Valdemosa. Such a stunning hotel. Only 9 rooms. Cutest man, Antonio, running the place with his little dog. Oh my gosh. Iconic. What do you have to say about Mirabo de Valdemosa?
It was like, the window was like one of those old school, like opened up windows, but it looked like a picture,
you know,
but it was real life. And it was like kind of throwing me off because you'd like walk by it and, you know, obviously you'd see a different angle of the town, but it literally looked like it was a picture like of an old, you know, cutout that you put in your office to pretend like you're not stuck in St. Louis, but it was actually real.
The view was real, literally looking out the window. You're so right. It looked like a painting. So we're looking over Valdemosa, which is the town nearby. Adorable. Dea is also a town nearby that's very popular that people go to.
Another place she manifested a parking spot. I was like, let's just go. It's over. You're like, no, we're finding one.
I am the queen of getting a parking spot. Guys, if you want to do it too, read You're a Badass. That book, I was already good at it, but that book reconfirmed that if you want to get a parking spot, you just got to tell yourself you're going to get a parking spot. That's so right. We pulled right up and got one there as well when it was crazy traffic.
That place was beautiful.
Oh,
that
my gosh,
was
like a must. So stunning.
That was my favorite part. That was like, you must go because it's, you can, and it's no offense to Mallorca or any island or anywhere in general, but like you can see beaches everywhere. Like mm-hmm. It's these old, like, layered mountain towns that you're just like, how did they do this? And mm-hmm. It's like, then you read into it and it's like the irrigation system is the reason why they settled there, and like it's still like a lot of it's still used. So it's like, yeah, these people that have settled there for so long, it's like, how does it happen?
Yeah, just like you said, beautiful views, super old buildings. I guess that was one of the first meals where we started to realize your food allergies were like non-existent on this trip. Kind of another thing I guess we can touch on now, Connor has a lot of food allergies. So in the US, eating out is very limited to just like protein, rice, certain vegetables, sweet potatoes. It's very limited. You can't really go into the sauces. You can't do anything fried in the seed oils. Like, it all inflames you, right?
True.
And that meal we had in Daya, which you guys, if you ever go, you must go to the Belmond property there. It's a very expensive hotel. I think I just was curious if we could ever, like, before I was planning the trip, I'm like, oh, I'd heard of that hotel. I think it's like $2,200 a night. Insane. So we did not stay there, but we did lunch there. We just walked up and it was perfect. But that meal, you're like, I'm going to try. I don't know. I feel like we started to inch more into you trying things that could possibly.
Well, there's a language barrier, right? So at some point in time, you just hit like, screw it.
Yeah,
you
just know, screw
what's,
it. Try.
What's the worst thing that's going to happen? It's like, it's no nuts. Like, that's the main thing. Like,
yeah.
No nuts. It's fine. It's like, I'm not going to die.
That meal was one of our best meals by far, right?
Yeah, it was good. Service was good. Food was good.
But I feel like in that meal, we started to realize like, oh, nothing is going to bother. Not nothing, but you can try foods that you definitely could not eat in the US. And it's not going to bother you.
It's depressing.
I know, which it's depressing for you, but it's kind of good for me because now I can totally convince you to go on more European vacations because you can eat. Like, you literally ate all the food on this trip, which is so depressing, which we can get to in a little bit. But that town was gorgeous. The hotel was amazing. Funny story from that, I guess, was that there's like goats and rams running around the property. And at one point I'm like, I'm going to go read by the pool. And Connor, you just want to hang out in the room. And I'm walking up to the pool and hanging out right in the chair that I want to sit at was like a ram, a giant ram with the horns. And I'm like, Connor is never going to believe this. Like, but this ram was looking at me and it was trying to come at me. And thankfully, one of the farm attendants mans saw what was happening. He like clapped really loud and the ram ran off. But what would have happened if no one was there to help me? This ram was actually trying to come at me. I took a video. You saw the video.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you not convinced?
I mean, the way you made it sound was like the ram was like
revving up.
And it was more
of just
like
eye contact. He was ready to butt. I was scared. Okay, so after Mirabo, Dave Altamosa, I think it's funny with this episode, there was never any bad, crazy, wild stories. I feel like this was a very like not plateau, but like very cool, chill trip. Like, nothing crazy ever happened. There was never a crazy high or crazy low. It was just chill and relaxing and like the perfect vibes for a honeymoon the whole time. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, other than the start with the poop.
Other than the poop gate.
Other than the poop on the plane.
But yeah, no, everyone was just so kind. Did a lot of just exploring. And I guess that was a good theme as well. We wanted to pick beautiful locations that did not require planning. Because for me, I plan trips and I plan photo shoots and video shoots for my job. So the thought of planning excursions and activities and making reservations for breakfast, lunch, dinners, like that sounded like my worst nightmare. So for this trip, we're like, let's just plan very cool destinations, maybe book a lunch or a dinner here and there, but let ourselves get local recommendations, go with the flow and see where the takes us. And that totally paid off. And if you're planning a honeymoon and you don't want to just do an all-inclusive or hang out at a beach and you do want to go to a destination kind of like we did, I would definitely focus on those nature outdoorsy locations, kind of like the Mallorcas or the Switzerlands, because it allowed for you to kind of be in that chill.
The whole point's like, you don't have to do anything, right?
Yeah.
Like normal trips, you're like, I gotta go here and here. Like, you're on your honeymoon, you're like, you can just sit around and do nothing. Like, it's kind of your vacation from the wedding.
Yeah, so you can just enjoy the sun or enjoy.
So it was like a lot of the, like, Palma was great, but like we were glad we didn't stay there because it was more city and we got to enjoy like the natural beauty and
Oh yeah, I guess that was one thing from the trip was we were going to go on this amazing private boat. They had like all you can drink, all you can eat. It was just going to be this amazing thing. It got canceled because of the weather. And then the next day was already booked full. So we had to just cancel the small boat. So we did go on a bigger catamaran, which was still a small group. I think it was only, 30 people or less on this boat. And it was kind of a cloudy-ish day. It wasn't like a hot summer boat ride that most people would do, but it was still really nice. I still swam. Oh my God, I almost got attacked by a jellyfish though.
I got in trouble.
Yeah, because I was in the water and I saw something coming at me, but I was like, I think I'm making this up because I thought it was just my hair, like on my back coming at me. So I like swim away really fast. But then all of a sudden Connor's standing up and he's pointing at something. I'm like, what are you pointing at? I thought you were pointing at that I was in someone's photo. Like, hey, get out of the way. You're in their photo. I'm like, I'm not in their photo. And then finally, after like 20 seconds of us going back and forth, this guy was like, there's a jellyfish 2 inches from you. And so I swam back.
It's like, hey, idiot.
Yeah.
He's pointing at the jellyfish right in front of your face. I didn't want to freak you out.
No, but that's pertinent information because I was just chilling in the water. Meanwhile, there's a jellyfish inching closer and closer to me. And I got so mad at you afterwards. I'm like, just next time say jellyfish.
Next time say jellyfish. So next time I learn my lesson, I'm gonna be like, hey, jellyfish. There.
Yeah, because I was just hanging out. Like it was actually, we looked it up too. It was a poisonous one.
It would have stung you.
No, not all of them are bad. No, it would not have been fine. So it's Mallorca. Like I said, nothing too crazy. It was beautiful. Highly, highly recommend. It was good because I kind of wanted more of a beach trip and Connor wanted more of the mountain trip. So this is the perfect way to do both because after Mallorca, we went to Switzerland. So how did we pick Switzerland?
Well, I think it started as we were going to do Mallorca and then the south of France. And then we were like, let's fly out of Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were like, well, we're taking the train up. It's out of the way, but it's not. And you hadn't been to Switzerland. So it was like, why we should go? Like, I've heard good things.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was like that. But then we ended up not, which thankfully we didn't do like the southern part of France. And we just saved a flight. We really saved a day that we got to enjoy the trip.
Yeah.
Other than like, we wouldn't have been there for very long. And it would have been similar to Mallorca. But that's why I think we went to Switzerland. Because we were like, we're going to take the train up from France. Let's just stop by Switzerland so we could, you know, see it and then go on. But then it turned more into like a Mallorca-Switzerland trip, which I loved. Like, yeah. I thought it was like breathtaking in a different way. But like getting into Montreux, where it was just supposed to be like the town that we were just going to get on that train, which I'm sure you'll talk about, but it was like the lake view and walking on the lake. And then we were like asking the bellhop, like, is it safe to walk around here? And he's just like, yeah, there's no crime here.
Yeah.
It's clean. There's not a piece of trash in Switzerland. Like, I found one Gatorade bottle. Like, you look in the water and like there's just nothing. It's just still and calm. It's crazy.
Yeah, we loved how clean Switzerland was.
And they have a low threshold to build a statue for you too. Like, all you have to do is get somewhat famous and just say a good thing publicly about Switzerland. Like, we got there and there's a Freddie Mercury statue. I'm like, why is Freddie? Like, oh, we're like, oh yeah, he was born here for sure. Or like, he lived here for a long time. It's like, he just said in an interview that he thought Montreux was the most peaceful place on earth and he vacationed there a couple times. They built the man a statue.
A giant statue.
And they're like putting wreaths around it.
Yeah, there's like fresh flowers. People are dancing. There's like a Freddie Mercury street performer playing music.
We're and like, surely he like...
He's from here.
He's from here. That's awesome. We're in the hometown of Freddie Mercury. Like, no, the guy vacationed there 3 times. It was like, it's pretty cool. And they're like, statue.
No, I love that. And you're so right. We also saw a Mark Twain statue, which again, I'm like, I mean, I knew that Mark Twain was from Missouri because that was
it's from Hannibal.
I've been to the Mark Twain Museum. Have you not? It's incredible.
We came all the way here to see a Mark Twain statue.
Yeah, but he had one in Lucerne, Switzerland, because he had also spoken very positively about Lucerne.
He vacationed there for 10 weeks and he said that it was the most peaceful place on earth and they built him a statue.
Yeah, so
that's all he did. If you want a statue, you have to get moderately famous. Yeah. Go spend, you probably can't do Montreux because it's taken and you probably can't do Lucerne if it's taken, but maybe pick another one on a lake and just tell them that it's really cool.
Yes, that was very fun. We got to Switzerland, first night in Montreux, absolutely gorgeous. Connor was like, why aren't we staying here longer? And I was like, I mean, we got to go. We got places to see.
There's something breathtaking about the mountains that just, it's like makes you feel insignificant, like a good way.
Mm-hmm. So that was a great launching point because there's a very famous train that goes from Montreux. I don't remember where it goes to fully. Maybe it goes to Lucerne. I don't know. But we took it about halfway to Gstaad. So Gstaad was our next stop, which I found on the Small Luxury Hotels website, which is a partner of Hilton, because I had some Hilton points I was like that I was wanting to spend. And so I found this cool, beautiful 5-star hotel in Gstaad. And so then when I was researching, I found that there's a beautiful vintage train that I posted on my Instagram. You guys can go look that you can take to Gstaad. And at first I was thinking about getting a rental car for Switzerland. And then I was thinking about it more. The only reason I was hoping to maybe do a rental car was because we also found out we were going to be in Switzerland during the Alpine Festival, which is like the once a year festival where they have all these cows put on all these flowers and bells and march down from the towns, and it's a big festival celebration. So
one thing I learned about my wife is she loves cows. I'm from Troy, Missouri, so I've seen plenty of cows, but apparently she has never seen one before this trip because our honeymoon revolved around a lot of cow watching.
Okay, there's something beautiful about a Swiss cow. I'm from Nebraska. I've seen plenty of cows, but the cows in Switzerland were so cute and they all have bells on them. It was adorable. Going back to the story though of the train, I decided not to get the rental car because I was thinking about it more. I'm like, driving a rental car is not very romantic during your honeymoon. But you know what is romantic? Taking a beautiful vintage train, taking first class. We got all first class train tickets. It was like $100 more total, I think, for the whole trip to do first class. Because we've got the Swiss Travel Pass, which is unlimited transportation throughout the time that you're there. And it was like $350 for regular. And I think it was like $450 for first class. And we're like, we're only on our honeymoon once. Let's splurge.
Had a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
We had like 3 bags. I mean, we took like in Lucerne, like some of the transportation without bags, but like every other train ride we took, we had like 2 big suitcases, a small suitcase, and like bags.
And the first class gives you a little bit more room. So that worked out perfect.
And the baggage is in the actual car, whereas the other is outside of the door, sliding doors.
Yeah. So good to know. But the vintage train was so beautiful. And I guess where I'm going with this is that a lot of the train rides are very romantic. This one in particular, it was so romantic, so beautiful, truly out of a movie. It looked like we were on the Harry Potter train. You said the, what movie train?
It was Polar Express.
The Polar Express. It was super pretty. So we get to our next hotel. I guess the hotel in Montreux was very beautiful too. The Grand Suisse Majestic. Loved that. Okay, so then we get to Gstaad. We just walked to our hotel. That's another thing about Europe. That's so nice. The public transportation is just so good. The train dropped us off right in town. We walked, 4 minutes to our hotel. And then we stayed at Le Grand Bellevue Hotel. This was by far our favorite hotel the whole trip. So, so stunning. It was the definition of 5-star, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it was the definition of ruining every other hotel you stay at. Yeah. Because it's like not a good thing.
No, it wasn't. It totally ruined us.
I'm just a snob. Forever. Yeah.
And the worst part was we paid with points. We didn't pay cash.
Yeah, we were like laughing because then the guy, which was so great, but he was like, "Where are you guys staying in Paris?" Because he was from Paris. And we showed him another 5-star hotel. And he's probably like, "What the hell do these people do?" It's like, well, we just have no, Kira has no points left.
But yeah, I've spent all my points. But no, I mean, no other crazy stories, I guess. I mean, just the service, the people at this hotel were amazing.
It was like interesting because it was an old hotel, but you could tell they maintain the, like, I just feel like there's two, we were talking about this at another hotel we stayed at, but it's like you can make a like old hotel kitschy by like trying to keep stuff that you don't need to and then like upgrade other stuff. But it did a really good job of like the wallpaper was new, but it still felt like it was vintage, and like the bookshelf like didn't have old books on it. Like it was serviceable, but it just felt like you were living in the 70s or like like the, what does he said? He was inspired by Hemingway. Like it felt like that, but it felt like it wasn't old.
No.
It felt vintage, but new. I don't know. I don't know if that makes sense.
I guess a few little highlights from the trip.
Well, first off, Gstaad was great because it wasn't very busy because it was a down season. But like neither one of us, well, Kara likes to ski. I had too many injuries to ski. So
I barely like to ski. It's
the perfect though. It's like there's no one there, but you still get to enjoy the mountains. But it's like 65 instead of freezing.
Yeah, Gstaad is technically a skiing town, and it was on 0 lists for recommendations for a honeymoon destination. So I was kind of nervous. I'm like, I cannot find a single article, blog post, anything that recommends going to Gstaad for your honeymoon. But that was by far our favorite destination out of every single place. So don't be afraid to go against what online, what the blog posts are saying, because that was easily our favorite place. And you're right, like it being the off season was perfect because every restaurant we walked right in, it was fine. Didn't need reservations anywhere. It was empty. It was beautiful. It could not have been more perfect.
Great.
Funny side stories. Connor saved a bee.
Did I saved a bee's life?
I went into the sauna in the morning because this was also another hotel that had a spa and you could use the spa amenities as a hotel guest. So in the morning we ate breakfast. Oh my God, the complimentary breakfast was so insane. So delicious. But after breakfast, I'm like, I'm going to go sauna for an hour because we had a train to catch at noon the day we were checking out. And I'm like, let me just go utilize these, you know, these amenities for one last time. And I come back to the room and you've told me that you're in the midst of saving a bee. Walk us through that.
From my perspective or the bee's perspective?
Both.
Because I just imagine this bee just dying and then this just hand reaching out with a spoon and flipping it over and then just pouring sweet sugar water on it.
Well, you said you walked outside and you almost stepped on this bee.
You know, this bee was flipped upside down and I was like, I'm going to put it out of its misery. And then I like started to move it and then it wiggled a little bit. And I was like, maybe I could save its life. So I took a little coffee of water, like pot, and then put some sugar in it, flipped it over with the spoon, poured the sugar water on it, drank it, flew off.
I know, that was crazy. Because when I came back, this bee was drinking the water. I'm like, and Connor's like, crouched down like next to a
weirdo.
Bee.
And I'm like, I'm doing something.
And I was like, what's going on? And you're like, I'm saving this bee. And sure enough, I witnessed it drinking the water. And we were sitting out there talking. This is on our, we had a private, giant private balcony. A minute later, this bee literally flies off. It went from dead on its back, suffering, to flying off. And we never saw it again.
My picture's up in a beehive somewhere. Yeah. Like this guy saved me.
Yeah. So guys, if you ever see a tired honeybee, just give it some sugar water. Another animal we encountered was a cute little kitty cat.
I saved the bee and then the cat walked up and was like, all right, my turn. What do you got for me?
Yeah, give me some sugar water. Give me something. No, there was a cute cat hanging out with us. Again, no crazy stories because everything was so great.
The massage, I tell Kara I dislike getting massages and she thinks I'm a psycho. And then every time after I get a massage, I say the masseuse looks at me and she's like, I feel bad for you. Your back is very messed up. And then I got a massage and then the masseuse looked at me and she goes, honey, you need to find a way to calm down. Your back is very knotted.
Yeah. So
I was like, that's why I don't like getting them.
Because they call out.
Because they always are like, you're messed up.
Yeah. You do need I don't know what to say. You need to work on that, I guess. Yes. Maybe more consistent massages.
I was like, I'll be better.
Connor hates massages, which I'm like, you are one of the only people I think I've met that hate the pleasantry of a massage.
Yeah. Strangers touching my back.
After Gstaad, we were so sad to leave. We went to Lucerne. 2 days in Lucerne. That was one of the top locations recommended. We kind of hated it, honestly.
We didn't hate it. It was just like a different favorite experience. And we stayed in an old castle, which was great. But we're like taking a funicular. We took it up, which was cool in theory and kind of a pain in the ass. And then we got up and then I was carrying suitcases upstairs. There were two people that walked by us that worked there that just like kept going. It's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, no one helped us with our stuff, which also it was a very expensive hotel as well. So I'm like,
and it wasn't the vibe. I think we would have liked staying off. Like we thought it would be more isolated and it wasn't. It was like very much people went there to like have dinner, get a drink because it had a beautiful view.
It was this gorgeous Chateau Gooch, stunning, very historic, very famous, well known. But yeah, you're right. It was just, there was a lot of people there. It's kind of its own tourist destination in itself. So just people coming in, coming out in the heart of the city, which also we didn't even know Lucerne was a city. I thought Lucerne was going to be this cute, romantic, picturesque town, which it was. It was very picturesque.
We just should have stayed where Mark Twain was staying.
I know. The Mark Twain statue was... in the best place.
Yeah, Mark had it figured out.
No, we were in like the heart of the city, which that I think was just where we got confused. I had no idea this was a city because Lucerne is one of those destinations that is number one on all of the places where honeymoon.
For a reason. It was beautiful.
In Switzerland.
It was overwhelming.
Yeah, because after we stayed in Gstaad, we realized how much we liked the nature, being alone, like having space because there's really no one there. So then switching to Lucerne, where there are tourists everywhere, everyone's on top of each other walking around. I had no idea. I thought it was gonna be this cute little charming lake town. And again, it was charming and cute, but it was so many people. And I was telling Connor this, I was between that hotel and another one that was on the lake. You had to take a ferry to get to it. And I think I ended up not going with it because I'm like, that seems a little inconvenient, like having to take a ferry to get to the hotel. But no, there was a reason for that because you kind of got away from the craziness. It was a lake hotel, had its own waterfront pool. You could swim in the lake. It was more relaxed, away from the craziness. And I think we would have enjoyed Lucerne more if we'd stayed in that hotel. That's okay.
Food was good. Ferry ride was beautiful. We hiked a mountain. It was fun. I almost threw up on a gondola ride.
Yeah, it was a really good 2 days. But yeah, I think being right in the heart of the city kind of gave us a bad taste because we were kind of, when you go to Switzerland, at least for us, we were very excited to be out in nature experiencing that. And it was more of a city vibe, which we were anticipating with Paris and Zurich, but it was just weird because we were not anticipating that with Lucerne. So it kind of gave us a little bit of whiplash. But after Lucerne, we went to Zurich. Amazing. One of our favorite cities. Yep. Loved Zurich so much because it was a city and we were anticipating a city, but it was also so quiet and so chill.
Clean.
So clean.
Common theme. Two of
the best meals from, we had an amazing lunch, an amazing dinner. Dinner was probably one of the best meals of my entire life.
Same. It's incredible.
And Connor almost backed out. He almost told me we shouldn't go there anymore.
So I tried to order Rogue and Majorca a couple times. Then I learned you just got to ask what the person, because I would have never ordered that. I was in Switzerland and Zurich and they had an all you can eat steak. And I was just like, Ponderosa. Like, I was like, is this what people get? And she was like, no, this is people come. And it was only on Monday. She's like, people come here just to eat this on a normal day. And you just happen to be here.
She said people travel to Zurich to come to that restaurant and get their all you can eat steak night on a Monday night. Why was it the best steak I've ever had in my entire life?
It didn't make any sense. And
the price didn't make sense.
The food didn't make sense.
All you can eat. But no, it was insane. It was so good because the steak had the sauce on top, which I don't think we'll ever have again in our entire lives.
Like, it's just not an American thing to have anything on your steak. It's almost like a sin. But there, it's better with it on. And they were just dumping it on. I almost was like, you can put it on the side. But I'm like, there's got to be a reason for this. There was.
What was that restaurant called?
Hotel Bourbon.
Hotel Bourbon in Zurich. You guys need to go.
On a Monday.
Go on a Monday. Plan your trip around.
Trust your gut.
No, it was so insanely good. I wish I could eat that meal once a month for the rest of my life. So then we did Zurich, took the high-speed train to Paris. That was so easy. Loved that. And then we got to Paris. We loved Paris. It was so good.
Yeah.
Any highlights?
Napoleon's tomb.
That's so dorky.
That's my favorite part.
Why did we low-key... That was like one of the only things on our itinerary was go to Napoleon's tomb. Connor likes books. You like history stuff. Like a lot of guys.
He's
got a great book.
He's an interesting guy. Yeah, he gets a lot of slander. He did a lot of bad things. Did a lot of really good things. Like they built a shrine for him. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, that was fascinating. I think the most fascinating thing to me being at the tomb of the once emperor of Paris.
And Italy.
And Italy was people taking pictures, posing next to his tomb. Guys, it was a Black Mirror episode. It was so
weird. That was weird. The Louvre was weirder. The Louvre was weirder.
Social media culture with travel has gotten so strange. I literally saw multiple people posing in front of Napoleon's tomb. I think you can totally take a picture of the tomb. Take a picture. Document it. But sitting on the ledge of his tomb and posing and smiling. I'm like, do people remember where they are right now? It was so strange. But yes. Then after that, the next day, we went to the Louvre because I had never seen the Mona Lisa, which...
It's not the real one.
We went down a rabbit hole of... Someone told us, they're like, oh, you know, the Mona Lisa actually got stolen in the early 1900s and then it got returned 2 years later.
There's just a lot of fishy stuff. There's a giant conspiracy going on. And
I'm kind of a believer.
It's been thrown tomato soup. Like every time it just comes out undamaged. And someone was finally like, you guys should do something about like, and they're like, oh, yeah, we'll put it behind glass. Oh, the glass is bulletproof. It's like, that's not the anyway.
No, but the story that someone told us. And you can look it up. We looked it up. We read the whole thing. Was that someone stole the Mona Lisa, stole it for 2 years, and then was forging copies of it and selling these forged copies around the world or something. And then after 2 years, the cops had zero lead on this guy. So then he just turned himself in because he wanted the credit.
something like that. Jim Shockey has, it's fiction, by the way. It is 100% fiction, but he has a book called Call Me Hunter, and it's about like underground art. And like, again, it's fiction, but it's pretty crazy.
And like people making copies and stuff. But then, yeah, the Mona Lisa miraculously got returned after almost 3 years of it being gone. And I just don't know. We think that the real one is sitting in someone's basement, like some super rich family.
But has the weirdest the part was Mona Lisa. Everyone taking pictures of.
Oh my God, the real like art.
There's a better picture of the Mona Lisa online than there is on the shitty one that you can take on your cell phone. But everybody was taking a like a picture of a painting.
It was a
just
mob.
Just sit there and look at it.
You would have thought,
and it's like this big. I mean, it's like tiny.
It's so tiny. You would have thought that Beyonce walked into that room. When you walk into the Mona Lisa room, people are shoving and getting elbowed. You're pushing your way to the front because I just want to see it with my eyes. Like, yeah, sure. Did I maybe want a photo? If no one was around, would I have taken a photo of it? Yes. But the fact that literally hundreds of people are trying to take a photo of it all at the same time, I was like, I just want to see what it looks like. And so I think the real art in that room is watching everyone in the pandemonium of how barbaric everyone's acting, trying to get a photo of the Mona Lisa. But you're so right. Just download a photo online.
There's just a better picture of it online.
So it
you
was
can
very,
buy a print of it.
Yeah, it was very interesting. That was the true art, was observing everybody else. Sadly, when we came out of the Louvre, someone stole our umbrella because they make you leave your umbrella outside. And we're like, we'll just put it right here next to the other six umbrellas that couldn't come in. But no, ours got taken, which we did not pout about. We didn't get sad about. We're like, haha, whatever. That person's going to have bad luck. But then it started to rain a little bit harder.
We pouted a little bit.
And a little bit harder. And then as the hours went on, which also we couldn't just like order an Uber back to our hotel because the road was closed.
For the Olympics.
They were taking down all the Olympic stuff because there was like the outdoor volleyball courts and there was all these outdoor things. And they were taking down so many things from the Olympics that all the roads were closed. So we had to walk 2 hours in down. It was downpour.
It was good and bad to go when we went because it was kind of a pain to travel. But they also cleaned up the streets because everyone says like the streets in Paris are normally like littered with people and things. Litter.
Yeah.
But they cleaned it up before the Olympics. So it was like
stunning.
It wasn't Switzerland, but it was way cleaner than what I was anticipating.
Yeah, so that was very nice. Clean. Yeah. So that was you're right. That was a pro of going during the Olympics. The con was that we went right after, I think it was like the end of the Paralympics. So they were cleaning up and someone stole our umbrella and then we're like, oh, we can't just Uber. Yeah,
we're like,
home.
We're the bigger people. Like, we don't care. And then 2 hours went by and you're just like those people. I hope you're warm and dry because we're soaking wet and mad at each other.
Yeah, that was a low.
We got on a bus and then the bus got terminated and we didn't know it.
But other than that, that was, again, like this trip was such a straight line. If you like drew a line, because it was just not that many crazy highs or lows. It was, everything went smoothly. Everything was perfect. We walked around that night, saw the Eiffel Tower light up, had a beautiful dinner. Our last day, we had someone give us, one of our wedding gifts was spending money to shop in Paris. And we found this very cute market of all these different tents of vendors selling art. We bought like a Paris book. We also bought a vintage Dior wallet, which was so cute. Great price. Anything you want to say about that morning?
No, I was kind of done with, being around people at that point in time. So
yeah, once Connor's on like a travel day, that was tough because our flight was at 5:30 PM, which I kind of agree with this too. Honestly, morning flights are kind of good because you're just like lingering around waiting for your flight that day. I feel like you were like getting antsy. You were ready to get to the airport.
I just was like at the end of it, I was just so much public transportation and so many people like walking on my heels. I just needed a little bit of space.
But yeah.
We did do the baggage drop.
Yeah. Yeah, that was nice.
Which was nice.
We found this company that partnered with Air France and they'll either come pick up your bags from your hotel or you can walk to one of their drop-off locations and then they'll check your bags at the airport. So we walked, I think it was like 10 minutes from our hotel, dropped off our bags and they took our bags to the airport. So we didn't have to go there.
It was just there waiting for us when we got to
Atlanta. Like they'll go to the airport and check them in for you, which was very, very cool because then we got to go to the airport 2 hours before our flight, which is still early, but for international, that's really not that early, which was so worth it because that airport kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Okay, a few questions. Did we have any inside jokes at all throughout the trip? I feel like the one that I thought of was when we would pretend to be very Missouri, very Southern, and like lean into the accent. Like, kind of making fun of the fact that we were at all these nice hotels, but like maybe we actually didn't really belong there. Because at one of the hotels, at one of the 5-star hotels, there was literally a list of 200 things that you could request from the front desk. And we were like, pretending to call the front desk and be like, hey, can you send a pregnancy pillow?
Can I get room service on here too, or is it just for the pillow?
There's like pregnancy pillow. You could call up.
Get board games.
Board games, deodorant, feminine products. We were doing like, hey, can you bring me up a tampon and a cigarette, please?
Hey, can I get that steak and awesome bacon? I was thinking about maybe some deodorant too.
So we were just kind of making fun of
ourselves.
Yeah. No, I feel like us switching into an accent was like the only thing. A real Southern Missouri accent.
Yeah.
Oh, not an inside joke, but you did tell me that I prevented a family fight from happening. I feel like we should tell that story.
Oh, yeah. Because this kid was me. This kid walked into the fondue restaurant and he was just like, and I'm like, it does stink. You know,
there's not going to be video, so you have to explain this better. But also, Connor saw himself in this 13-year-old boy.
This family walks in, just clearly exhausted from traveling Lucerne, because they probably didn't think that it would be this much. And it was like fondue. And
which is Switzerland's thing.
It's Switzerland's
thing. Getting fondue is the Swiss thing. So me and Connor got fondue one night.
Well, delicious. After trying like four times. Like, it was hard to get into. And these guys had a reservation.
Yeah.
I think they had a reservation in this. It was probably a 13-year-old and like a younger brother, and then a
mom and a dad.
A mom and a dad. And the dad just gets in and he just looks so relieved that they're finally there. And they put their phones down, and then the kid walks in and just starts shaking his head with his like nose under his shirt. And the wife is like, can we sit outside? It smells bad. He's going to be sick.
Okay, to be fair,
it did. It smelled like burnt cheese.
The fondue restaurant did smell a little strange. It's because when you're letting the fondue sit, yes, like you said, when you let it sit in the thing for so long, you're not stirring it, it starts to burn. So like the restaurant did smell like burnt fondue.
Everyone makes fun of kids with olfactory hypersenses, but it's a thing. Like I had it. It's like you have a hypersensitive taste bud and it affects your nose. And it's like they don't develop until later in life. So he probably was legitimately sick.
Yeah, so they were sitting at the table behind us. Immediately, within like a minute, they got up and sat outside. And I clocked it right away, but the dad left his phone on the table. But I'm like, I'm not going to get up for my meal. And maybe they'll come back in and notice it. Well, 20 minutes passed by. And this dad...
And he dropped something under the seat,
too. And he dropped something, too. Dropped something and left his phone on the table. After 20 minutes, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go tell this family that this phone is here, because that would suck. And no one had come by and stolen it or anything. But I was like, I'm just going to go tell them. So on the way out, we paid. I went up. I'm like, hey, I think you left your phone in there. And then he pats his pockets. He's like, oh, thank you so much. And then immediately after we walk away, Connor was like, what did you say?
I was like, you for sure prevent. Like, I could see it happening from childhood trauma of like him going back to his hotel and then just being like, oh my God, I forgot my phone. And then his wife being like, you forgot our phones. And he'd be like, well, we were sitting inside and then he didn't like the smell. So they had to go get outside. It was so classic.
So you said I prevented a family fight of being like, why did you have to complain about the smell? It didn't smell that bad.
This was like, we might have been making up. They look like a very nice family. But
they're like a nice Australian family. But I would like to think that I did prevent a fight and telling him that his phone was left. Because you're right. I feel like the son most definitely would have been blamed. Were there any lost in translation moments that left us both cracking up?
Other than the bathroom thing that I had, where I tried to go to the bathroom upstairs and the guy was like, you have to go downstairs. And then I went downstairs. The other guy was like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm going to the bathroom. And he's like, it's upstairs. And I went back upstairs and the guy yelled at me for being back upstairs. And I was like, I'm just trying to go to the bathroom. And he goes, well, it's downstairs. I go, I was told it was upstairs.
Well, it was in Paris and people warned us, you know, oh, the French aren't very nice. They're rude.
I kind of snapped.
And Connor fought back to the rude French and it paid off.
He was very nice.
That guy respected you.
I was like, you just had me running up and down the stairs. I just have to go to the bathroom. And he was like, well, I didn't know that the bathroom downstairs was closed. I go, well, news to me. I didn't even know there was a bathroom downstairs. And then he laughed. And then I came outside and he was like, I'm sorry.
Which I feel like to get.
It's like, that's fine. I just did 30 flights of steps.
Yeah, that was funny because that was after we walked around in the rain for like 2 hours, too. So we were at a breaking point.
I just was washing my hands, too, is the funny thing. I was like, I didn't have to go to the bathroom. I was like, I just have been touching Paris.
So, yeah, you snapped on the rude French people.
Everyone spoke English. I don't think there was any, if that's what the question is.
Yeah, I don't think we really had anything happen. That was like too crazy of lost in translation.
A metaphorical lost in translation.
Were there any unexpected or quirky experiences that we had, like a run-in with an eccentric local or a bizarre menu item?
Eccentric local. Everyone like outside of Spain is definitely the warmest. And it's nothing against the French or the Swiss people, but it's a little bit more isolated. You know, it's like everyone kind of keeps to themselves. So I don't, other than that, that family who you saved from the fight, I thought that was kind of...
Yeah, we didn't really meet anyone eccentric. We just met amazing people. No eccentric locals, though, I would say. Okay, well, I feel like that's everything. Any final favorite moments or top takeaways? If anyone's thinking about going to Mallorca, Switzerland, Paris, anything you highly recommend or just things that you loved from the trip?
I'm the farthest person to make travel recommendations, but for Mallorca, I like Dea. Mm-hmm. If that's how you say it. Like, I thought that those sea mountain towns were more enjoyable than like the beach, because to your point, like if you want to go to the, it's just hard to beat like California or Hawaii, in my opinion, or even Florida for like a nice, like pretty picturesque beach, but like that's something that you can't see anywhere.
And I feel like for Mallorca, being on a boat was the best way to enjoy the ocean, because you can jump off the boat, you can swim, you're enjoying that crystal blue turquoise water, but without the crazy crowds.
Then Switzerland, the train was awesome. I thought like if you're going to get around and like if you like the mountains, I thought that the off season was the best time to go because it wasn't chaotic and it was more affordable.
Yeah, and definitely prioritize those smaller mountain towns. And there are more. Grindelwald was one that we were looking at as well, but didn't end up picking. But there's so many options. So definitely, I would say prioritize that over the big other places like Lucerne. Anything for Paris?
I'm not qualified. People go to Paris all the time. Like you can find.
But we loved that we just kind of walked around, went with the flow, didn't make too many plans. I mean, here's a tip, which we kind of say on the podcast all the time. Ask the locals, stay at a hotel because they will give you amazing recommendations. Yeah, the front desk gal. Yeah,
the reality is like if I ate at five places in Paris and there's thousands. So it's like, I could give you a recommendation of the five places I tried. But those people eat there all the time.
No, of course. And more we're just saying like overall general travel tips, but
you have a good tip for the Louvre.
Oh my God, there's secret entrances to the Louvre.
That was crazy.
I had saw that on TikTok like 2 years ago and I remembered that to this day. That was actually crazy. If you want to go see the Louvre and the Mona Lisa, do not go to the main entrance. We looked up, I put on ChatGPT least used Louvre entrance because I think there's like 10 entrances. And I went to the least visited entrance, showed them our ticket. We walked in immediately. If you go to the front entrance by the famous glass pyramid, we were watching that line. That had to be at least an hour and a half to get in. There was a line wrapped around probably 20 times of people queuing. It looked like they were going to like an amusement park, but we walked right in and we were watching them from inside the museum. So definitely use those other entrances. But my final takeaways,
taxi to the airport was cheaper than Uber.
Leaving Paris. Yes. I think final takeaways for me, if you're trying to plan a trip, whether it's romantic, honeymoon, just for you and your partner, whatever, prioritize the outdoor locations. Don't plan so much because when you're planning and like making logistics, that's inherently going to cause you stress because you're adding more factors that could possibly go wrong and make you upset. So I liked that we had literally zero plans. Staying at hotels was perfect because then we got so many good recommendations. We got the best restaurant recs from that concierge at our hotel in Paris. The Brasier Patiste, so insanely good. That was one of our favorite meals.
I'm just a hotel person, so.
I know. Connor, we don't have to convince him to go to the hotel life over Airbnb because you fully prefer. I'm kind of team hotel now, too.
I just made the switch after our wedding, like when I was up the day after our wedding cleaning our Airbnb and I was like, I could be at a hotel right now and just leave.
Just walk downstairs. Yeah. Anything else you want to share before we wrap up?
Flight home sucked. Straight through that hurricane, baby.
Okay. We were flying through a hurricane, but it worked out. It was fine. I guess wrapping up, what was your favorite moment? You haven't said that yet.
I liked the train rides from Montreux to Gstaad, because I think I could say like the just being together, like obviously that was the best, but like that's the whole point of the honeymoon. And you could say like Mallorca, but I think like that was the thing that surprised me the most, because you just kind of, I wrote it off like, oh, it's just our transportation. But it was literally a ticket in itself. Like, it was an event in itself.
Yeah.
And I was like surprised by that, of like, you're kind of weaving through the mountains and like all these people are just on there just to take the train, and you're like actually using it for function and
like a tourist.
Yeah, tourist thing. So I thought that was like my favorite part, because it was just like a moment that you're like, man, now we have to go somewhere else, and you kind of sit down, you're like, this is, I hope this like ride doesn't end.
Oh, I think I'm going to say my favorite part was Kerstad and staying at Le Grand Bellevue, because for me, and I guess for you too, that hotel kind of was, like you said, the destination, but also the attraction of just exploring the hotel, hanging out in our room, going to the spa, and the views were insane. And we got so lucky. We were there with the perfect weather. It was sunny, gorgeous. And I think they said that rain was coming the next
week when we were in Paris, which it rained the whole time we were in Paris. So
too, yeah, which was a bummer, because there's some really fun things you could do outside in Paris, like picnic and all that stuff that we didn't get to do. But we'll just have to go back, because like we said, the food was insane. We had some of the best meals ever on this trip, and we're definitely gonna have to add some more Europe trips. Where are we going next? What's our next Connor and Kara trip gonna be?
I want to go to Germany.
Okay, yeah. Connor's very German. What's your...
I don't know, but people were coming up to me in Switzerland asking me directions in German. And I'm just like, they were so disappointed. No. When I was just like, I speak English.
You should be flattered. Every single place we went to, people kept coming up to you and talking in that language. In Spain, they were coming to you and talking Spanish. In Switzerland, everyone kept trying to talk to you. You were blending in as a local. Like, that's top tier travel achievement.
And then just immediate disappointment when I'm like, English.
In Zurich, the lady was trying to ask you how to use the bus, and we're like,
Mikey, get on it.
It was sad. We wanted to help her, but
didn't know what she was saying.
That's where we'll be going next. When are we going?
Probably not for a little bit.
We got no points. We got no time. It's going to be a minute. Well, thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Connor, for being here. Did you have fun?
I had a blast.
Okay, good. That sounded sarcastic.
I wasn't sarcastic. I'm just really tired.
Yeah, we're tired. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Already Friends podcast. We'll catch you guys next week.
See ya.
Bye.
Okay, wait, really quick before you go, if you want a chance to be the Already Friends Listener of the Week, we have something for you. Leave us a rate and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And for bonus entries, there's so many ways to support our show. Share about us on your Instagram story, engage with us over on TikTok, post on our Facebook group, join the Patreon page, or subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Make sure to send that rating and review to our Instagram page, Already Friends Podcast, and we pick a new Listener of the Week every Wednesday. We'll send you a $10 Visa gift card if you win, just as a way of saying thank you, to buy you a coffee, buy you a sweet little treat, whatever you want. Thanks again, you guys. We appreciate you so, so much, and we'll catch you next week.